morning, I tried to preach out of Ecclesiastes, and I won't rehash the whole sermon for the sake of my wife, I think. But I won't go through everything, but Ecclesiastes 4 and 10. You know, there's this thing, it tells us in there, it's better to have two than for one. For when one has fallen, you have someone else to pick you up. That's pretty much how it is, and we understand it to be true. And this afternoon I was thinking about it and how great the Bible is and how many lessons, just outside of biblical and spiritual lessons, we can have. You know, they write mountains of books to teach you different things in business world. I mean, there's books on how conflict resolution. There's books on how to teach, how to train, how to motivate. There's only one book you need to go to, and it has it all. And it has it all the right way. All the proper way to do it, the way that's going to have the best results, the greatest end result, it's the Bible. And you say, well, that won't help with managing. It helps. It'll help with managing people. It'll help with motivation. It'll help with making sure you stay the course. Conflict resolution, it does it all. The Bible is that great of a book that you don't need to have 100 books written by man. You can take one book that was inspired by God and you can carry that into every aspect of your life and you can say, this is all I need. Now let me look at the Bible and find the answer. It's not always easy because the Lord, He doesn't just automatically bless you to know that go flip here and see this and to know that and now you have your answer. But that's why we're supposed to study and read daily. Because every once in a while, when you're reading, you've read something 100 times, and you've never seen something in it before. You've never seen a word, you've never seen it exactly said that way, and you stop and you reread it, and you reread it again. You know, and it's one of those moments you call someone and you say, did you know this is what it says? And, well, yeah, I know what I've known that. And you're like, well, I didn't know it. I've read it 100 times, I never knew that's what it said. And that's how it is. That the Lord blesses us to know when He wants us to know it. So today I was trying to preach on that verse right there in chapter 10, or chapter 4, verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone, when he falleth, he doth not have another to help him up. And I kept looking and I saw all these great examples throughout the Bible of having two people and what they did for them and how you, one's prayed for them and one's went to them. You know, Ruth cleaved unto Naomi and went with her. But there's three that I was thinking about today and this afternoon that these three are something that is great for life in general. Not just in the church, not just in with members of the church, but it's great for us out there in the world. It's especially good, I think, with coworkers, with children, on how to deal with, how to handle them when maybe they're not doing something like they ought to. I'll tell you, my easiest way you can ask, I got two of my boys right here. You can ask them. I just get loud. That's just the simplest way for me to know, make sure you know that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Well, it doesn't always work because I think now they don't even know if I'm loud or not. They just tune me out. Because if you're always loud, they don't know you're being loud. So, the Lord has blessed us to see things. And over here, I want to look at three examples. Of three great examples. It's teaching, it's confronting, and it's restoring. These three great examples that we have here. So, go back to 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11, and we know that in this is where David takes Bathsheba. So right here, David is king. He has everything he can need. The Lord has truly been blessing him, but he sees something that he doesn't have. He sees something that is the wife of Uriah, and he wants that. How many times in our lives do we have so much and we're blessed with so many things, but we see one more thing and we want that? We have to make sure we take and thank God for what we have. Never lose sight of how truly blessed we are for what we do have. He had everything. He was king. The Lord was blessing him beyond measure. And he saw one more thing that was someone else's, but he wanted that. He wanted that one thing. So he comes down and he takes Bathsheba and she conceives. And he comes up with this really cunning plan. He comes up with this plan to try to fool everybody that it's not his child. Well, you can come up with all the plans you want, and you maybe can fool everybody in this building, but you can never pull a plan off that will fool God.
Amen.
He knows it. He's seen it. He knew it before you even pulled it off. So what does he do? He says he brings Uriah home, and he wants him to go. Uriah doesn't, do what he wanted, so he sends him back to battle. And he sends him back to battle, and he sends him with the note, and he says, when he gets there, make sure you take him in the biggest battle there is, and retreat back from him so that he can die. You know, if you think about that journey, that Uriah doesn't even know what's in the letter. He doesn't know what's going on, but he takes it back so he can give the orders that he would be killed in battle. So as he continues down, David takes, in the end of chapter 11, he takes, after Bathsheba's done mourning, he takes her to be his wife. And in chapter 12, the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and one poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nursed up and grew it together with him and with his children. And they did eat. It did eat and own meat and drank its own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there was a traveler unto a rich man. And he spared to take his own flock and his own herd to dress the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for him that was to come. So the rich man has plenty to offer to this wayfaring man. He has plenty to offer for this one that needs something as he's been traveling. But he doesn't want to give up his own. He doesn't want to give up what he has. So you know what? He takes someone else's and says, I'll just use that. It's a lot easier to volunteer somebody else's time than you volunteer your own time. You know, it's a lot easier when you say, well, boys, we'll go down and help you. Caleb wants wood loaded. Okay, well, Jesse can come down and help you. He wants to, I'll send him. It's a lot easier to send someone else in our place than us do it ourselves. It's a lot easier to take someone else's goods and say, I don't want to give up mine. I might need mine. I might need that. I am probably the world's worst on thinking I might need something. In fact, before church started, I told my son, I let him borrow one of my cordless chargers, my portable chargers. And this was like a week and a half ago, it feels like. And I asked him, do you have my charger? You know, because I have my charger, and then I have a backup charger, and I have a portable charger. And if I don't have all three, I'm worried about it. I want to make sure where mine is. The thing is we have to make sure that we're willing to give up ours. We're willing to give what he had, what we have. But the man, the rich man, wasn't. And so when David hears this in verse 5, it says, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Sometimes the greatest way to show someone that they've done wrong is not to get loud, not to confront them strictly, but it's just to teach them. It's just to show them and teach them. Nathan could have went in there and said, you were wrong. Look what you did. The Lord's not happy. But he laid it out in a manner which he could teach it and show him. And then David got passionate and worked up on his own against the person that acted like that, not even realizing that it was him himself. His eyes were opened up because you go down into verse 13, it says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So that was a teachable moment which he saw that he had done wrong. We need to take the time sometimes to stop and to teach. You know, we are blessed in this area of the country to have so many young people in the church. Well, I remember when I first came to the Old Baptist, there could be kids going all over the place, and I would never they could have been doing just really crazy stuff that could have got hurt. But they were my kids, so I never said anything to them. I didn't say anything to them. I just watched them like, well, that's not too smart. That, you know, I'd watch them. They'd be jumping off this, doing that. That's not too smart. Thing is we have to make sure that when we have a teachable moment, we show it and we teach it. We're there, you know, that we take the time to teach one another. When we see that one is falling down and is in a bad spot, we be the one to lift them up. No matter which way it is, that we lift them up to help them not to be in that bad spot. David is in this bad spot right here, and Nathan teaches him. He comes forth and he teaches him how he ought to be. So when I told you there's three spots, and we just talked about not getting like confrontational or anything like that, but to take the time to teach. But you know what the Lord also does? He teaches us to make sure we stand up. Make sure we stand up for what is right. The Lord stood up for what was right. You know, everybody thinks that the Lord was kind of pacifist, and the Lord made sure he stood for what was right. No matter what came at him, he stood. So when you go over to Galatians 2, it's one of my favorite parts in the Bible, because it shows that you can stand up and still be respectful and still be honoring to God and make sure you share what's wrong is wrong. But when Peter, in Galatians 2:11, it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Peter was doing things that he ought not to be doing. He was acting one way with one group, and then when other people come in, he would act a different way. He wasn't being true to God. He wasn't being true to himself. He was acting different ways with different people. The thing is no matter what it is, well, if you're doing right by God, you can act the same way without whoever people there is. I don't care what color, what nationality, whatever they are, you can act the way you're supposed to act if you're following the Word of God, if you're following what He's laid out. So when you say, ooh, I don't know about those people who came in and visited, I don't know how we could, you know, I'm not sure about that. And we can all say, well, Brother Wynn, I'd never think that. Well, if you haven't thought that, then good for you. But, I mean, that goes through our minds. We're people. And so the thing is you say, well, how can we do that? Well, we do it by following what the Lord has laid out for us. We follow it and say, I'm going to be true to myself. Now, Paul didn't just let it go and say, well, this is Peter. This is Peter. I don't know if I'm going to say something to Peter. I mean, Peter walked on water with the Lord. Peter's done all these things. I don't think I can say anything to the Lord. It's a great example for us that no matter who we are, no matter what lot we have, no matter where we are, that when we see a point in the church body or we see a point out there in life that something's not right, we take the time to stand face to face. He said, I withstood him to his face. That we take, you don't have to be ugly about it. You don't have to be loud. It doesn't say that he yelled at him. It doesn't say that, you know, they pushed him. He pushed him around. It said he withstood him to the face. He made sure that he didn't talk about him behind his back. He didn't talk about others to others and say, can you believe what he's doing? No. He went right to him and he addressed the problem that was going on. That's what we need to learn and remember to do. You know, you can cut out so many problems if you just go to the brother or sister that is having the problem. That you think, you say, if I just go to them, you don't have to go to the people that sit behind them in the pew. You don't have to go to, if you're talking about your children, you don't have to go to their brother to say, what do you think is going on with this one? No. Go right to them. Go right to them and talk to them. And say, what you're doing, I don't think this is right. Now let's talk about it. Let's make sure we look at what you're doing. So you have these spots where Nathan, he takes the time. He didn't just withstand him to his face, but he taught him. Paul stands up and says, this isn't right. Right to him. He makes sure he knows this isn't right. And this last one, I love it. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. When you think about this one right here, this is not an easy one. This is not one because our nature is to get involved. Our nature is to want to have a say in things. Our natures want to have our hands in things. If we're going to be involved and we're going to be helping someone out and lifting them up, we want them to listen to us. We want them to know that we're there for them. So go back with me to Genesis 9. Genesis 9, the flood is over. Noah and his children are out, his sons. And it says in about 9 and 20, it says, Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. You notice what he did? He went and he talked. He didn't help his father out. He didn't address the problem right then. He went to go talk about it with other people. He said, well, we all gossip. I don't care. It's not just a woman thing. I think sometimes men are worse than women. Everybody gossips. Everybody talks about it. We know we're not supposed to. We know it's not right. This is what he did. He came out to start talking to his brothers and to tell them what went on. It says that Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it both on their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward to as they saw not their father's nakedness. Sometimes we don't need to say anything. Sometimes we don't need... We see a brother or sister or one of our children that are in trouble and they're not doing what they ought to. Sometimes we don't need to teach them. We don't need to confront them. What we sometimes need to do is just take it and restore them and to go on. Sometimes that's the greatest thing that they need. I know there's been times in my life that I needed help, but I didn't want anybody to have to get involved and know it and see it and to understand what my troubles were. That's why sometimes it's better as you be like them, just walk backwards, cover the nakedness, and walk back out. And that's how we ought to be. Sometimes we just need to take the time to restore them, not give our opinion, not try to teach, not try to confront, but just to restore the brother or sister. That one is not easy, because it's not in our nature not to be involved. It's not in our nature to not want to give our opinion. Those things... The teaching one is easier for others. The confronting ones, standing with face to face to them, are easier from others. But just to plain restore someone and not to get involved, but just to help them and to walk away is not easy for any of us. We always want to have an opinion. And I assure you, this is coming from me, and you all know me, and you know me well enough to know I have an opinion on everything. I assure you I do. But there's sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. Walk backwards, put the garment over the father. May the Lord bless you, my prayer.